Well, number one, I want to say this was a whirlwind kind of thing for my wife and I to be here. We did not expect to be here this week. Expected to just be home and doing things. But Dave called last minute and said, can you come out for my wife's birthday? So we talked about it, and we just decided, well, let's go ahead and do it. And when I get toward the end of my message here tonight, I'll let you know a little bit more about what we've just entered into, even in the past month. It's an addition to our ministry, and we're hoping that the Lord uses it. The Word of God is eternal. And as far as I have come to see in my life, I want to invest my life in that. I don't want to invest in things of this world. It's gone. It's just going to be gone someday. And I don't want to see my stuff burn up. When I stand before the Lord, I truly do want to see gold, silver, precious stone, you know, come through that furnace. Because I want to glorify God as much as I possibly can with the time that I have. What I want to do here, what time? I have till 10:30 or something like that. Is that right? At least you smiled about it. What I want to do here tonight is I always like to challenge people. Again, I appreciate your backing us and praying for us. But I also want to offer a challenge. You may say, well, you know, you guys are the ones that showed up tonight. Nobody else came. Why do we need to be challenged, right? Because maybe you're on that edge of, you know, going to the next level, but you just haven't made it yet. And I'm hoping to be able to challenge you tonight in that no matter what it is, you know what the Lord's challenging you with right now. You know whether you're being obedient or disobedient. You know whether you're even listening real hard right now. You know, you come out the Wednesday night, and that's a great thing, but you know, is that enough? And some people, well, yeah, but I do this Wednesday, I do Sunday. But is that what the Lord wants you to stop at doing? There may be something else that He's asking you to do. And what I'd ask you to do tonight is just perk your ears up a little bit and pay attention to the Word, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a sketchboard message, the same words I would do for kids. As a matter of fact, I've taken this message and adapted it. It's a kid's message, but I've adapted it for adults to use the material and to challenge people and things. And so I'm not an artist. Some of the people in our ministry are very artistic, but we are considered Bible illustrators. Okay, so there's no artwork involved here. It's a lot of color. Okay, it's the flashy color. So just be amazed with that. Okay, not with anybody's artwork. Now, I have a question, though, and every time I'm here, the next time there will be a test. Always will be a test. You need to understand that. How many of you remember when my wife and I were here and we did Sunday night? A few years back. Okay, we have some people that remember. But the question is this. Do you remember the message I did? Did I leave an impact? What was the message I did?
Going to a foreign country.
Hey, and a kid said Virginia. You remember that, don't you? Yeah, remember that. But that's got nothing to do with my message. So the point is this. Since you don't remember what I did when I was here last, if I do it again, you won't know. That's always nice about being the guy invited in years later. And so I can preach the same message and you're still going, oh, wow, that was really good. And so I'm going to go ahead and get started here because it's probably going to take me at least, I don't know. How long did you have for your first point, Mark? 40 minutes. You need to understand something. I listen when people speak. Okay? I heard when you said that. Today we went over to walk through the Bible. Is that what it's called? Walk through the Bible. And I appreciated going through that and seeing some things. And actually this message was one of their big displays. I really like this message. There's a lot of challenges in this message. There's a lot of information in this message. You guys are going to get the kind of like small version of it. I've preached this message taking over an hour to do it. But I'm not going to do that to you guys here today. Because I'm wired for sound. So I'll make it a shorter type message. Just a little background here. We know that Jesus, this is the time of Jesus anyway, and we know that Jesus had just gotten some information about his cousin, John. Pretty, you know, terrible news. Yeah, his cousin had been beheaded, right? So John was killed. But at the same time this information was coming, we also had the disciples coming back from being out, and they were doing great things for the Lord, and they came back and they were bragging and saying, we did this, you've seen all that happened. And so Jesus says to his disciples, he says, you know what, let's get away for a while. You guys haven't even had time to eat. So we're going to go and we're going to rest for a while. So they got in a boat and they went across lake. And so they're all together, the disciples. I'm not going to put all the disciples up here, but, you know, they're all just hanging. And, you know, when I always think about this, you figure, you know, these guys are hanging with Jesus. And you just try to fathom that just for a little bit. You are hanging with the Lord. I mean, you know, there's some resting going on here, and you guys are just, man, me and Jesus, you know, we're out together just taking a break. I mean, I can just imagine being with him. And so they're taking this break. But, you know, wherever Jesus was, one of the other things that happened, there was how many people? Lots of people. Now, we say a boatload of people, but here is more than a boatload of people. There were a lot of people that followed him around, you know, for a lot of different reasons. Most of them weren't really that good. They were following around for bad motive. So these guys show up at the place where they're going to take a rest with the Lord. And what happens? All these people are there. And, you know, how did the Lord look at them? He said, you know, guys, let's just go someplace else. We can't be followed by all these people. That's what he said, right? Let's just get out of here. We can't take these people anymore. You think that's what he said? No, the Bible says he looked at them with compassion. And it says he did something. It says that he healed all of their sick. He healed all their sick. I'm thinking right about now, these guys are irritated. We're supposed to be getting away. Just me and you, Jesus. This is about me. This is me time. And he's going, oh, but look at the crowd. And he heals all of their sick. Now, there's only one reason that he could do that. There's one reason why he could heal the sick. Because he was whom? He's the Lord, right? He is the Lord. It's the only reason he could do that. I can't do that. Can you do that? Anybody in here going around healing people? If you do, I wish I'd have known you over a year ago before they whacked open both of my sides and cut bone off and made me 2 pounds heavier. Do you know that titanium does that to you? I was very upset when I found that out. I said, you guys didn't increase my weight by 2 pounds. Man, that bugged me. So Jesus can heal these people because he is the Lord. Well, I believe the disciples, they were irritated about what was going on here. Because later on, one of them comes to the Lord and he says, look, it's getting late. Will you send these people away? We don't have enough food to feed these people. He says, well, no, come on. You guys feed them. We don't have enough to feed them. How much money is it going to take to feed all these people? We don't have enough to do that. And Jesus says, well, what do you have? And they say, well, this kid brought his lunch. He's got a few fish and some bread. And he said, well, give it to me. And he breaks it. He prays. And lo and behold, what did they do with it? They pass it around, right? And they pass it around to how many? The question is this. How many people were actually fed that day? I want to show you something here. Do you think they only fed 5 people that day? No. You think it was only 50 people that they fed that day? How about 500? They fed 500 that day, right? No? Well, how about 5,000? See, the Bible says they fed 5,000 men. So how many women and children were there? The speculation is there could have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people. That's speculation. I don't know the exact number. But we know there are more than 5,000. So there's a ton of people out there. And Jesus says, have them sit down in 50s and 100s. And go ahead and start passing this food out. So the disciples start passing it out. And I believe the Lord had them do it for a reason. So that they could see the result in what was going on. I think they had an attitude because of all the people still hanging around. Again, and that's just my opinion because of the way this all turns out. But I think they had an attitude. And so these guys start passing the food out. And it says everybody ate. How many ate? Everybody. Well, everybody. And how much did they eat? Until they were what? Full. Until they were full. Now, how is it that Jesus can do that? Because he's who? Because he is the Lord. That's how he's able to do that. I can't feed 5,000 people. I can't do that. I can't take some small little lunch bag and break it, pray over it, and have it passed out so that everybody eats until they're full. Oh, and that's not the end of the story. Because the disciples came back and they had something. What'd they have? They had what? They had fragments. They had leftovers. How many fragments did they have? How many baskets? How many?
12
baskets. See, what that tells me is how many disciples were there? That right there were the 12, the inner 12. And so each one of them had to carry a basket back. And what did they start out with? So these guys had to get their attention. I'm thinking the Lord wants their attention to show them something. So they feed over 5,000 people. These guys, the disciples bring back a basket full of leftovers. Now how is it that there can be leftovers after everybody eats it full? Because Jesus is Lord. See, I'm trying to drive a point home here, aren't I? What point am I trying to make right now? That Jesus is Lord. There you go. So if you walk away with nothing else tonight, just keep that. Jesus is Lord. And these are things that He can do. These are things that He can do. Because He cares about people. He cares about people. He has compassion on the multitudes. So, it's getting late. Jesus tells His disciples, get in the boat and row across to the other side. So what do you think they did? They got into the boat and they begin to row across to the other side. And what did Jesus go and do? Anybody remember? This is participation time. I'm not just teaching here. I want to see what you guys know. What did He go and do? He went to pray. This is the part of the story where I have a little bit of a dilemma. Because I've never quite understood why is it that Jesus, who is the Lord, why does He have to go and pray? Why is that? Does anybody know why you think Jesus went off and prayed? I know He loved fellowship with His Father, didn't He? We know He loved that. But what's that?
He demonstrated
something. See, I like that when somebody gets where I'm going. He's our example. He demonstrated the importance of what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. And so He went and prayed, you know, as our example. And so, you know, what do we do? Do we pray enough? Do we spend enough time? Do we make that priority in our lives every day to where we go and spend time with God? You know, do we desire to have that fellowship with our Father like Jesus did? You know, He desired to have that fellowship with His Father. And so He's up there praying, and these guys are out on the water, and the Bible says that Jesus did something. He saw the disciples. Now, where were they? Where were they? In the middle of the lake. How far was that? From where they were, it's kind of funny because if you go, it's about halfway across where they were. It's about 3 or 4 miles. But what time of day was it now? It was actually the middle of the night. So it was about 6 watch. So it's dark. Just give it that. It's dark. They're 3 miles away, and the Bible says He saw them. Now, how is it that Jesus can see that far, in the dark, and see what's going on? How is it? He's Lord. I mean, He is Lord. Imagine that. Imagine that. That He can see you wherever you are, whatever you're doing. All the time. That can be scary, too. Can it? You know? You're thinking about, you know, oh, did He see me when I did that? Yes. Did He see me when I stole a bowling ball? Yes. We don't go down that road. Now, it wasn't last night. It wasn't last night. Did He see me when I took it back 32 years later? Amen, He did. He saw. Jesus goes and prays, and He sees His disciples, and they're on the water now. And what's happening to them? Does anybody know what happened out there in the water to these guys? A what? A big storm. The wind came. And these guys are having a bad hair day. See, they had attitudes, number one, and now they got bad hair, number two. And the Bible says they rowed hard, and it didn't help. And then suddenly, something happened. Let's say this. Somebody happened. They saw somebody walking on the water. Does anybody know who they thought that was? They thought it was a ghost, right? I always love doing this part with kids. I'm not going to call anybody up here, though. Unless you want to do it. No, she doesn't want to do it. No, I usually get kids up here and I get them to... Because I say, what do you think the disciples did when they saw... You know, they thought it was a ghost. You know, and they go, ah. And I go, no, you really think that's what he did? You know, they just went, ah, it's a ghost. So I have them come up, we act the whole thing out. You know, ah, it's a ghost. You know, I'm thinking, come on, let's be real. That's what I'd be doing. So they think it's a ghost. And he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's me. And somebody in that boat decided to ask a question. Who was that somebody?
Peter.
What did he say? Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Right? And Jesus said what? One word. What did he say? He said, come. One word. Come. What did Peter do? Peter gets out of the boat. The only one to do it. And what's he doing for a short period of time? He is walking on water. Can you imagine being there? Can you imagine it? He steps out. I'm wanting to know what the rest of them were thinking when Peter goes. I want to know, were they reaching for him or were they going, you see what he's doing? I want to know what they were thinking when he stepped out of that boat. And for a few moments, Peter was walking on water. Peter gets a bad rap for a lot of things. Oh, he's the one-legged apostle. Oh, he's this. Oh, he's that. But you know what? Peter is the only one that got out of that boat and walked on water. I don't care if it was for 5 seconds. He got out of the boat. But something happened. He takes his eyes off the Lord and puts them on his circumstances. And it freaked him out. The other guys were already freaked out. They didn't get out of the boat. They think he's an idiot anyway. I mean, you know, what are you doing getting out of the boat? And what happened to Peter when he took his eyes off the Lord? Just for that little bit of time. He starts to what? He starts to sink. He's going down. But you know what? Peter knew what to do in that situation, didn't he? Because he said something. What was it that he said at that moment in time? What did he say? He said, Lord, save me. See, he used that word too, didn't he? He said, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus do? Nope, Peter, you are on your own on this one. I can't believe you even got out of the boat. You know, is that what he said? No, you know, and it took me some time, and I always thought about this. You know, whenever I thought about this happening here, you ever get a picture in your mind of what it actually might have looked like? Does anybody ever have a picture in their mind? How far do you think Peter was away from the Lord when this took place? Anybody have a thought on it? Distance. How far?
3 or 4 feet.
3 or 4 feet? Okay, so that's about me to you, right? Me to you. Go ahead. What's going on here, though? What kind of...
If he was close enough for the boat, he just reached back to the boat. So he had to be far enough away from the boat that he thought he couldn't get back.
Okay, away from the boat, but how far away it was from the Lord then?
He didn't recognize
him. So we've got all this thought, you know, I'm just curious. He's, you know, 3-4 feet, and I always had the 14 feet in my mind. I don't know why it was. I was just 14 feet. That was exactly what I thought. It had been about 14 feet. But you know, as I was teaching this, and I was looking at it, And when Peter yells, Lord, save me, it says that Jesus did something. What did he do? It says he reached out his hand. Didn't say he walked across. Did he? It says he reached out his hand. See, I'm thinking he was closer than that now. I'm thinking he was right there. Because if you think about where the Lord is in your life right now, where is he? He's right there. He's right there. He's always right there. And so Peter yells out, Lord, save me. He says, and he reached out his hand. And he pulled them, and they both got into the boat. And then the Bible says they were immediately on the shore. Figure that one out. There's only one way he could do that. Because he's Lord. They were in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the lake at that time. But it says they were immediately on the shore. That's another thing that amazes me. It's like, boom, just like that, they're on the shore. And he says, you of little faith. You know, the challenge that I have here, and the reason I bring this up, is that so many times we have things happening in our lives at certain times in our lives that cause us to do things or not do things. Did it make sense for Peter to get out of the boat at this point in time because of the things that were happening? It didn't make sense, did it? I'm going to ask you guys a question. Are you in the boat? You see, first off, they were told, get in the boat. Have you gotten in the boat yet? Are you in the boat? Because the next thing the Lord says is get out of the boat. During what type of situation? A storm. There was a lot going on. It didn't make sense to get out of the boat, did it? But when Jesus says get out of the boat, what should you do? You get out of the boat. You get out of the boat. You don't question it. You get out of the boat. Because where is he? He's right there. How often can you trust him? All the time. If he says get out of the boat, it's okay to get out of the boat. So I can get out of the boat and I can trust him that no matter what the situation is going to be, I'm going to be okay. In his presence, in his power. Now, I can't do it. There's nothing I can do. I'm not the Lord. He's the Lord. So the challenge for you guys is this. Number one, when horrible things happen in your life, who do you cry out to? Who do you ask to save you? You know, so many times we have today, we want to go to friends that can't do anything for us in certain circumstances. They can be friends, but that's as far as it goes. You know, then there are other things we do. Then we go to professionals that want to give us a whole spiel on what we should do. And sometimes it's necessary. Hey, I went to a professional to have my hips done. I didn't go to the guy down in the corner. And say, hey, can you work me a deal on this? You know how much they want in the hospital? You know, come on. I didn't do that. I went to a professional. But I was also asking the Lord, what should I do at the same time? You know, and there are storms that are going to happen in your life. And the question is this, who are you crying out to? And are you allowing the storms and the situations in your life from doing what the Lord is calling you to do? Because when he says come, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He has control over the circumstances, doesn't he? And even in the circumstances, I like what Dave said before. He says, you know, if he doesn't pull you out of the fire, what's he do? He's in there with you. I mean, look at the storm that was going on. You know, Peter takes his eyes off the Lord, gets him on the circumstances, and he freaks out. But what the Lord wants you to do is obey his command and don't freak out, no matter what the circumstances. My wife and I, going on 10 years ago, we went into full-time ministry. It didn't make any sense because of our circumstances. There were 7 years ago, we were heading to Vermont for the first time. Circumstances said, don't do it. It doesn't make any sense. There was a storm raging around us. But, you know, I hear that voice saying, come. And so we got out of the boat at that point in time. Just this past month, my wife and I, we got out of the boat again. That's why I challenge you. Are you in the boat, number one? Are you available to even get out of the boat? Is there a storm raging in your life right now with the economy being what it is and whatever else it might be that doesn't make any sense for you to be obedient to the Lord right now because it's scary? I mean, come on. How many of them stayed in the boat because it made sense? So what's the world doing right now? Do we follow suit with what the rest of the world is doing? What Peter should have done, according to the world, he should have looked back and said, guys, what do you think? Is it okay? Should I get out of the boat? Or should I stay in the boat? What do you think they would have said? Don't do it, Peter. Don't get out of that boat. You'll drown. I say, that's what the world will tell you. That's what a lot of Christians will tell you. Doesn't make any sense. Don't do it. But, you know, we've got to be obedient to the Lord. We've got to step out. We've got to make a difference. We've got to look different to the rest of the world in what we do. And then who you're crying out to, even when it seems to go awry when you've obeyed the Lord, who do you cry out to? You cry out to him. You know, Peter had a bigger problem than drowning here, you know. Really, drowning is just getting dead. But Peter had a big problem in his life. And I have to end with this, just because this is the way I would end it, in a message to kids on the street. And I have to do the same thing here. I don't know everybody's heart in this room. I really don't. You know, Peter had a big problem, the same problem we all have. And that's a sin problem. You know, Peter drowns, he's dead. Okay, fine. But Peter doesn't just drown and die because he has to face the Lord after that. And so he's got a sin problem. If he faces the Lord with his sin on him, he's got a real big problem because he spends eternity in hell. Is that a problem? I think it's a problem. You think it's a problem? Hell's a big problem. But if we have that sin taken away, we don't have a problem, do we? There's no problem. So how do we have our sin taken away? You know, how does this end up being the small problem and sin being the big problem? Because this has eternal consequences. This is just temporary right here. This is eternal. Well, God came up with a solution. And Jesus said this. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God the Father except by me. There is one way that we can have that sin problem taken care of. And only one way. And it's God's way. It's not my way. I never would have thought of this. Not a way that man would think. But God came up with the solution to our problem. He sends His one and only Son, Jesus, who lives a sinless life. The Bible says, He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me, that we, and I put it this way, we could be made right with God. You have to be made right with God before you can come into His presence. Because the Bible says that God cannot look on sin. And so the sin has got to be taken away before we can do that. And the Bible says that's what Jesus came to do. He took sin for you and for me. He allowed people to drive nails about the size of that into His hands and His feet. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So somebody had to die a bloody death for you. You can't do it on your own. But the really neat thing about this is, yep, Jesus died. He shed His blood for you and for me. It's not the end of the story. Where'd they put Him after He died? A tomb, right? 3 days later, what happened? The stone was rolled away. And He was risen. We have a living Savior. He's not dead. He's alive. That's why He can save you and me. That's why you can cry out to Him. That's why you can say, Lord, save me. Because He's here. He's alive. He's not dead. If you cry out to Muhammad, what are you going to get? Nothing. He can't save you. Cry out to Buddha, what are you going to get? He can't save you. Jesus is Lord. He's the only one that can save us from our sins. He's the only one that can save us from the turmoil in this life. He either goes through it with us, or He takes us out of it. Either way, we're okay with Him.